The prophet is wonderfully exercised as to these things. The interpreting angel informs him that the power of the accomplishment of Israel's future is altogether dependent upon the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This word used here for might is also used for army or multitude. It refers to the strength of confederacy or union, while the word for power refers to the individual. Together they may be taken to describe human strength in its every phase, physical, mental, and moral, the power of the combined strength of the many. All of these, or any one of them, cannot stand, neither advance, the consummation of God's purposes. The Spirit of God will be the energizing power of which Israel's destiny, as symbolized by the candlestick, shall be fulfilled. He must be the only resource, the only hope of the prince, the priest, and the people in the building of the temple. The consummation of the building of the temple will be the visible proof to the whole world that God is for Israel and that Israel are for the Lord. It will publicly testify that the favor of Jehovah is resting upon them, and other nations must leave hands off. The Spirit was present with them in the past time of Zerubbabel, the pattern of the latter accomplishment, as the word of the Lord to Haggai 4 months prior to this vision assures. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, O ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, and my Spirit abode among you. Fear ye not. Haggai 2, verses 4 and 5, Revised Version. Therefore we have the understanding of these words to Zerubbabel. He was to rely solely upon the Spirit of God, and thus the great mountain should depart. Zechariah 4, verse 7. Jesus said, But also if ye say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Matthew 21, verse 21b. God will accomplish all his wonderful purposes for Israel through the might of the Holy Spirit, which is promised to them in Joel 2, which was only partially fulfilled on the day of Pentecost because the people did not believe. The Jew feels his high destiny, as all the awakened life among them proves, but there is still the dependence upon money, influence, combinations, and political powers. Hence, God must let all these fail. They must realize by bitter experience the futility of all these agencies in the accomplishment of God's purpose for them. They are born with the hope of supremacy and rule in their hearts, but they will find later that God alone will be able for their ultimate triumph. He declares that it is not by power nor might, but by his Spirit, his will shall be fulfilled. The nations upon whom the Jews shall depend are symbolized here by the great mountain, which is in their way. They will be the real hindrance to their national life. God will let the rod on which they depend, the reed upon which they lean, turn to a serpent and bite them. The Gentile world powers must be broken down. They must be out of the way before Israel can advance. The Confederacy of Nations, the revived Roman Empire, with all the confederacies of earth and Satan, cannot withstand the rush of the Spirit of Jehovah. When it is time for him to show his speed, all the little tin cans of earth must get out of the way of his chariot, or they will be roughly handled. Every high thing must come down. The mountain will become a plain at the command of Zerubbabel when the Prince of Israel comes forth at the head of the army of the Lord. He shall bring forth the headstone of the temple with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Christ is the cornerstone which the nation rejected, but they must receive him or they will never have a temple or a home in Palestine. David tells us, The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118, 22 and 23. It is Christ's hands that have laid the foundation of the temple, even as Zerubbabel laid the foundation of the building in his day and finished it. But Christ is the master builder as well as the cornerstone. The rejected, despised Jesus of Nazareth is the author and finisher of all the plans and purposes of God. He is the hub of the wheel of Israel's, as well as all men's destinies, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. As there were mighty shoutings when the temple of Zerubbabel was finished, so will there be mighty shoutings when the latter house shall be finished. The priests and the Levites sang one to another in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Ezra 3, verse 11. The temple which was built in Zechariah's day may have appeared a small thing in the eyes of many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, which were ancient men, for when they saw its modest dimensions and looked at their limited resources, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So the people could not discern the voice of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. Ezra 3, verses 10 through 13. In comparison with the glory of Solomon's temple, which had been destroyed, this one was as nothing in their eyes. Haggai 2, verse 3. But it was especially in comparison with the future glorious millennial temple that had been described by the former prophets, the center from which the light of the Lord should stream, that this temple seemed a little thing. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 10. The chief men could not reconcile the day of small things with the glorious prophecies. They did not know that their restoration from the captivity of Babylon was but a small thing, a little hint of the deliverance from a far greater captivity, that which is even now at hand for Israel. The fatherland may appear a small thing in the eyes of the nations. In fact, it may all appear a very small thing in their own eyes, because the natural man is occupied with spectacular doings. Big things catch his eye, but with God it is different. It is not how much, but how well. He is more interested in quality than in quantity. The Jewish movement may be slow, but it is sure. God is more interested in them than any other nation in the world, and in a short time, when his church is taken up, he will be more interested in their movements than any other movement of any people on the earth. It will only be a short time until those who are ashamed because of the little things shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hands of the anti-typical Zerubbabel, who is thus indicated as the future builder of the temple. The seven eyes of the Lord, the fullness of the Spirit, will rest upon him. This emphasizes the Father's approbation and delight. Those seven eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and nothing is hidden from their omniscience. The Lord will show himself strong in behalf of everyone whose heart is perfect toward him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 19 centuries ago, in his vicarious death upon the cross, his death of atonement and consequent glorious resurrection, Christ, the master builder, laid the foundation of the temple. Since then, living stones, both Gentiles and Jewish believers, from all parts of the world, have been gathered by the Spirit, and the building, fitly framed together, is growing up a spiritual dwelling place for the Lord. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. It is almost completed, but its beauty cannot be manifested until the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the head shall be joined to the body and the mystical Christ revealed. He will then begin the building on earth, for the heavenly house must be finished before the earthly one can begin. Both heaven and earth will join in one great and grand hallelujah chorus, which will never end. These first five visions have all been prophecies of hope and good cheer. They abound, as we have noted, in the most glorious promises and show us the consummation of God's purposes toward Israel in symbolic signs. They tell us of grace, of which there is not a more beautiful theme in Scripture. God delights to show His grace. He desires us to realize that He is glorified therein as in no other manner of His dealing with mankind. Israel shall learn His great heart of love when He shall arise and have mercy upon Zion, when He shall again choose Israel and breathe His Spirit upon them, and they shall live in His sight. Ezekiel 37. But before these glorious hopes can be realized, before the beautiful symbolism of the candlestick can be a reality, and Israel's light shine in greater splendor than ever before, both the land and the people must be cleansed and changed. Everything that defiles or works abomination or makes a lie must be cast out. This is what we must consider in the following three visions. In a moment we will go, leaving everything below, changed in the twinkle of an eye. In a moment we will rise, meet the bridegroom in the skies, changed in the twinkle of an eye. We'll ascend that very day, laughing, shouting all the way, changed in the twinkle of an eye.